by appreciating the qualities that are revealed to us by Him and about this being. And so I said all that, and that's a general introduction to all of the study, but this morning, in talking about understanding who God is, the subject we want to talk about this morning is the transcendence of God. That's a technical term. I said I would have to use some of those terms. But I think it is the most fundamental concept in us studying God and setting the framework for which we can pursue further study of this subject. It is fundamental to our understanding of who God is. So that being the case, probably the first thing we need to do is say, what are you talking about, Mike? When you say that God reveals that He is a transcendent God. Well, it is an English word, and this is the English word that is used to describe this. And so if you look up the words in an English dictionary, you will find something like this. The word transcend means to go beyond the limits of something, or to go beyond the power of something, to surpass something, to excel. And interestingly enough, Webster's dictionary, the one I use, has a definition, a sub-definition. It says, when the word is used to refer to God, it means His nature that is above, separate from, or independent of experience. That would be human experience. Or the material universe. And so this word means that when we say that that God is transcendent, it means He goes beyond our limits. He goes beyond the limits of the world that we know as human beings living upon the earth. The adjective transcendent means beyond normal means, surpassing, being outside or going beyond the limits of possible human experience. And these particular dictionary that I use is Webster's New Lexicon Dictionary of the English Language. But what I want us to understand why this is so important when we use this term and we think about it is that this beyondness, the idea that it goes beyond and it goes farther than we are capable of going, is the very essence of God. God is beyond the limits of human experience. That is why one of the basic fallacies of human thought is think that we can understand God. We're really getting a big dose of this in our Wednesday night study of the book of Job, by the way. That's probably the major subject of the book of Job, is who are you human beings to think that you can think for me? God is beyond us. His experience is so much more and different than our experience. And because of that, we only know God and know about God what He has chosen to reveal about Himself to us. So understanding that that's this concept, it causes me to have a couple of what questions that really lead into to developing the study this morning. The first of those is simply, what is it about God that separates from Him from us? And separates Him from every other thing about this world that we know? Because we are also formulating our ideas and our thoughts by our observation of the world in which we live. We call that practice science. We look and we raise the questions and try to get the answers. And that applies to what we can explore and know and find about this world in which we live. But God is beyond that. And what is it about Him that separates Him from all of that? And the second question is, I think, comes from that, and that is, what is the significance of that? What significance is there for you and for me that God transcends us? And how should that affect my thinking? So what I'm going to do in the rest of the time that I have this morning is to look very briefly at three important characteristics and qualities, however you want to use, whichever term you want to use, that separate God from the rest of all things that we know, that we can observe, things that we can taste and touch and see and hear and smell. The world as we know it. What makes Him so different? And I'm going to leave myself open here because it's very real as I continue to work on these lessons and study on them, that we may very much indeed come back to some of these points that we're going to talk about in just maybe 5 to 7 minutes or maybe a little bit longer and spend the whole lesson on them at some future point. But I think this is the foundation of understanding what is it we talk about, what is it that we mean when we say we begin our understanding of God to understand that He is beyond us, that He is transcendent. So the first of these is that the transcendent God is the Creator. The fundamental thing that separates God from this world in which we live, separates Him from us, is expressed in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that creates separateness. This is a very fundamental chart. I know it's simplistic. I don't know any other way of putting it. When you look at everything around us, everything that we know, we think we know, that we are striving to know, the very basic thing is that there is a great separation between God and everything else. God is always above the line. Man is a magnificent creature. And there are many of our fellow men who worship that creature and the intellect of that creature. But the thing that separates God from man, from the animals, from the plants, from even the physical material world on which man, animals, and plants live, and the matter that consists of which this world consists, is the fact that God is the creator of them all. They are dependent upon Him. He is not dependent upon them. He is the creator, and He created the Latin term ex nihilo. Those of you that are soccer fans know that in the world where soccer is actually football, that they'll give a score, they'll not say 1-0, they'll say so-and-so beat somebody 1-0. They didn't have anything. We know what it means to use the word nihilo in our English word annihilation. If you annihilate somebody, did you annihilate anybody Friday night, game night over at the Hills? No. Did you get annihilated? You got annihilated. We understand not the meaning of that word, right? Totally destroyed. Wasn't there anymore. And so what we need to understand is the thing that separates God from everything else is that God created everything from nothing. We talk about our creative nature. And we would expect us to be creatures who create because we are made in the image of God. He gives us a little bit of that in His creation. But human created spirit is totally different from God's created spirit. If you are a musician and you can create music, you start with sounds. And most of us that create music, we create music by our knowledge of that and our account of that. I think one of the interesting things that was so is we sing the song "Our God is Alive," and there's a couple other songs that were all written by A.W. Dykus. Dr. Dykus was one of the first chemistry and physics teachers before college. He composed those songs right there, and he didn't know how to read music, he didn't know how to do music. Those songs were based and written, the pattern of the note, based upon the frequencies of the note's sound waves. He scientifically wrote the melodies. He's an amazing person. His son, who was an elder of the church in Cleveland, is still highly involved with NASA. That's why Dr. Dykus in the very early days. But he created music not by his knowledge of the notes, but by his knowledge of sound waves. The sound waves were already there. The artist who paints a picture uses a canvas, oil, water, and that's all there. The inventor, Brother Andy, that invents things. He has ideas. He sees something, and he sees something that I wouldn't see. You know, I'd be a rich man if every time I see something, I say, "Why didn't I think of that? I have actually thought of that." But here's what accidentally means. God didn't have any stuff to work with. So first God created the stuff. By his word. He said, Genesis says over and over, God said, and it was so. And then he took that stuff and he organized it. Very simply, the second verse in the Bible. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. There was no stuff. God made the stuff. Then God organized the stuff. And when he was done organizing the stuff, there was a material world, there were living plants, there were living animals, and there was man. God did all of that, starting nothing. That's what makes him so different than us. To pursue that just one step further, the reason why he is a transcendent God is he is the uncreated creator. And the fact that God is uncreated makes him different from all else in the creation. Because all of those things, including us, are created. And he is the one who created us. That is what separates us from God. He is God, we are the creator. We have an essence, but it's not his essence. Even though he says he makes us in his image, he gives us some things that are similar to him. But the essence of man is not the essence of God any more than the essence of an animal is the essence of man, or the essence of a plant is the essence of an animal, or that the essence of inanimate matter is the same as the essence of living things. There is a separation there. But the other thing about God being the uncreated creator that separates us from his creation is that he has that essence. But he also has existence. One of the great verses of the Bible that I don't think we often think about in this term is what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verses 15 and 16. When he's praising God, but listen to what he says about God in this praise. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone... Underline that word "alone" in your Bible. Who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, And by the way, we will have a lesson on that very phrase, God unseen. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. God exists like none of his creatures or none of his creation. So the first thing that separates us from God, the first aspect of his transcendence is that he is the creator of all. But the transcendent God is also spirit. And we almost miss this because it's so common in our scripture. But when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he was talking to her about worship. You know, he simply said, God is spirit. God's spirit beings. We are fleshly beings. We have substance. God doesn't have substance the way he made us with substance. Again, he's an uncreated spirit, and that's significant. Just like he's the uncreated creator, he is the uncreated spirit. Because God created other spirit beings, such as angels and demons. But they're not like God. Again, they depend upon him for their being, but he does not depend upon them. He's the uncreated spirit. And God created human beings to be similar to him. And one of those similarities that he created is that he gave us a soul. God breathed into the nostrils, man's nostrils, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We are body and we are spirit. As long as we are alive, our spirit is in our body. Our bodies are actually built as dwelling places for the spirit that God created for us that's in his image. That's what he said. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. But because God made us and gave us a spirit, that does not mean we share his essence as the eternal spirit, as the uncreated spirit. And there's significance of God being a spirit. That is, he is not material. He is completely separate. He transcends the physical or material nature of his creation. And secondly, he is invisible. Now, there are times in the Bible where he provides men what are called theophanies. He provides them pictures or visions of himself. And you find references to this and figures of speech called anthropomorphism, get all the syllables in there, where God is pictured to man because man's language is so limited. And certain aspects of God are pictured to man in human terms. And so you'll see the Bible talk about the eyes of God or the hands of God, the arm of God. We use those terms. We read them in Scripture. These are expressions and descriptions of how God has at times revealed himself to man. The incarnation. Again, it so transcends us that God revealed himself to us in the form of the Word. And the Word is God, John 1:1 says. The very beginning, when you go back to Genesis 1:1, the Word was there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It didn't mean he stopped being God, because God is the essence. Who God is who God is. And that does not change. And so when God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, when he revealed himself before that to Abraham in the form of the visitors that Abraham had, to told him about various things to do. That doesn't change who God is. that's so interesting. Interesting thing. But remember, we said what that is one thing, but what is the significance of that? And this is the thing that I think is so important as we begin to study, is that we need to understand that God demands that we never equate man or any other part of God's creation to be of the same status or essence or category, whatever word helps you understand it best, with God. When God revealed himself to the Israelites, and then he had Moses give them a law, he said to them, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." He says, you need to understand, you can't think of me in terms of me being like the things I created. You cannot lower me to that status. The Apostle Paul addressed the very same thing in the book of Romans. He says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Talking about the condition of the world in the first century, God says, they did not give me the glory. They started worshiping things that I made, rather than the maker of all things. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. When you start serving the creature rather than the one who created the creature, all sorts of God is the Creator. God is the Spirit. The very essence of the uncreated Spirit. And the third point is that God is holy. We use that word all the time. And we even define it right. But I'm not sure we stop and think and appreciate what that definition really means. The psalmist said, let them praise your great and awesome name, holy is he. In one sense, holy is the name of God. In the Revelation, John visions heaven, and it says, and the four living creatures, each of them having the six wings and full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is to come. God is holy. But what does that word mean? It really, at its base, means separate. That's what the word sanctified means. Set something apart. So it has a use that is different from the use of other things. We don't have time to talk about this a lot, but I want to make 2 points about this and then we'll close this lesson. We need to understand that that word holy is so significant, because every time we use it, we're saying that God is different. God said it. We most often use it in relationship to sin, and it's correctly used with that. God is separate from man who is the sinner. By the very nature of who he is, the one who dwells an unapproachable life. One who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. He is the righteous, just one. And that separates him from us as a sinner. And sin separates from God. Because God has no sin. And secondly, he is separate from man who is his creation. He is God, the Holy God, the God who is separate from us. We are simply the man that he created. We need to understand that any approach in religion today, in the world today, that simply tries to bring God down to our level is to deny the very essence of God. So really, this is a real simple lesson. Three things that make God distinct from us, a barrier that we will never cross. He is the Creator. We are simply his creation. He is the eternal, uncreated spirit. We are simply men created in his image. We are the someday, remember what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, the body will return back to the eternal. The soul will return to God. Creator, he is the spirit. And he is holy. From a very practical perspective, this frames all the rest of our discussion. Because the transcendent nature of God is what makes man's contemplation of God so different. Here I am, a being confined by time, confined as a body of clay, with very mental capability, right? We all even have the same human capabilities of intellect and thought. And we want to contemplate what who God is and what he can do, and then try to formulate that through philosophy and theology and say, this is who God is. And it's no wonder men are confused. We go down all kinds. Because the finite is trying to define the infinite. The creature is trying to explain his creator. And that causes difficulty. So we simply need to listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. And I'm closing with this, and it really leads us into all the rest of the studies. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Well, I think one of the most important passages in all of Scripture. If you don't have this one highlighted or whatever, you need to do that. This is one you need to think about. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That's what we're going to try to do in this study. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous stand his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. One of the great difficulties when you study about God is that you're trying to comprehend. God has revealed that to what He thinks we need to know. And we can study those things, and we will study them. This is your home house. Every time we start thinking that we're a little smarter than we really are, maybe we are a little smarter than some other people. Some of them think they're smarter than they really are, and you get into this vicious cycle of exaltation of the human. We need to be humble and understand that not a one of us can take that. If we made up, if we would love Him, and if we would glory. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, ultimately in this study, we can get to the role that the Word Logos, the one who revealed Himself to us as the Son of God, plays in all of this great stuff. But for simplicity this morning, in 1 John 3, for God, this Creator, this infinite Spirit, this Holy Spirit, God's Son of love for us. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in believe on Jesus Christ this morning. You do, you invite him. Give your life to him. Baptize him in his name for the remission of those sins. If we are willing to help you do that now.